Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
The end. Has anybody ever heard of a singer named Elvis Presley? Anybody ever heard of the King? Thank you very much. Elvis Presley, near the end of his career, he actually went to this very, very popular steakhouse called Lil Thompson's Steakhouse in Tennessee. And they were having a Elvis look-alike contest. And so Elvis thought, thank you very much. He decided that he was going to go and put his full outfit on and go to the steakhouse. Now, they actually talked to the owner, and the owner was concerned that if word got out that it would, you know, make a rush. So they all kept it very secret. So Elvis Presley went to an Elvis impersonator contest. And when it was his time to get up, he got up and he sang, love me tender, love me true. And he had some polite claps and he won third place. Can you believe that? So third, Elvis won third place at an Elvis contest. Why? Because no one was looking for him. No one was actually expecting to bump into the real thing. And I began to wonder, when we come to church, are we expecting to bump into the real thing? Are we really expecting to have an encounter with the King? And as I thought about this, and I'm looking at our text this morning, it kind of jumped off the pages because we've been going through these sermons in the book of Acts. And if we see these sermons in the book of Acts, we see some pretty tremendous things, some incredible things that those around, I don't think that they were necessarily looking for this to happen as well. Matt? It's not working, so I'm just going to do this. And when I do this, you go ahead and forward. So let's just jump right in. There you go. Here's why. Because I'll do my Elvis every time. No, let's edit that out of the video. As we get going, like I said, we have 50 some odd verses, and I know how you all are, so I added pictures. So we're not going to do all the pictures. You guys get pictures, so you can look at the pictures. But let's start here, verses 1 through 7. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number. Okay, so good things are going with the church. The church is increasing. People are coming to the message of Christ and responding. He says, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So we have Jewish Christians, we have Gentile Christians, and there's this feeling that certain ones were being neglected, and so this complaint comes up to them. And verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, so they had a board meeting, said, look, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. In other words, the toil and the necessities of ministry were such that they were pulling them off of the more needful things of having time to get into the word and to pray and to prepare and to share the word of God. So they said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word going on there. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So there's some great news. The church is expanding. The word of God is increasing. And let's go on here and see about one of these individuals, Stephen, this deacon who they appointed. And Stephen, full of grace and of power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Wait a minute. He was one who they appointed to wait tables. I want you to know something. When you embrace The service of God, your small things can be great things. I always kind of joke with folks about here, you know, and I remember every time that we add new staff, we say, look, ministry is you do everything. You can have a visitation from God while you're disinfecting the pews, while you're cleaning the toilets, while you're doing all those things. You can be praying for people. God can touch your service, your humble service for Him, and you can do great things. And Stephen is a great example. He's full of grace and power, and he's doing wonders and signs among the people. This dude's pretty powerful. In the Holy Spirit. In other words, not his power, but God is flowing and shining through him. Then some who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and those of Sicilia and Asia, they rose up and disputed with Stephen. So Stephen is sharing the word, and these Jewish leaders are coming up and they're challenging him. And he says, but they could not withstand the wisdom, the spirit of which he was speaking. Why? Because it was the Holy Spirit. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Go to the next one. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council, and they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak the words against this holy place and of the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. They really didn't even recognize who was in their midst. Elvis was in the building. And they didn't understand. The king was right there. They totally missed it. And it's interesting, you know, these individuals, they were so focused on their rituals. They were so focused on their pattern, on their worship, that they literally missed the real deal right in their midst. My first point today is something that I think we need to be very, very aware of. And that's this. Boldness for Christ does not exempt us from suffering. Here we see Stephen doing all the right things. Stephen is moving in power. He's moving in humility. He's serving, and yet controversy comes. And again, we've said this every week of our message of this series on the record as we've gone through the book of Acts. God can flow through you. God can use you, and you can be doing everything right. And you may, in fact, encounter opposition. You may encounter opposition to your godly life on your job. In your school, in whatever you decide to pursue and to go at it with integrity, following God, honoring God, we live in a day and age where, in fact, that happens. Why is that? You can do the right thing for the right motive in the right way and still encounter suffering. The gospel drives some and the gospel draws some. It's amazing. The same message of truth, the same message of God's love. Some people can hear it and hear that God is bringing to them eternal life. Other people can hear it and get angry because of their embrace of darkness. And some will take their anger against God out on his children. There are some individuals who are so angry with God, who are so angry with the Almighty because of their lack of understanding or because of their selfishness or pride or because of their sin, that they will literally just take it out on his children. I am amazed and I am saddened as reports continue to come in of Christians who continue to be persecuted throughout the Middle East, throughout some parts of Africa and China. There are places still on this earth where there is a hatred for the gospel. And I sure pray that it's not coming soon to the United States. At times, God allows his children to endure hardship. But the good news is this, that God will reward those who suffer for his name's sake. Now, we'll remind you that Jesus cautioned his followers not to confuse political suffering from the Roman Empire with spiritual suffering for God's kingdom. Let me say that again. Jesus instructed, because there were some zealots These were some political activists who their religion was to overthrow. They were zealous for the Jewish faith, and they were willing to kill and to murder Romans. This was a celebrated thing, and yet they came and to follow Christ, they realized that there was an eternal kingdom to which God was talking about. These zealots who followed Jesus, they were challenged not to confuse the kingdom of earth with the kingdom of God. And man, I sometimes begin to think that that's where we are again right now. We have some very tense issues, my church family, that we are wrestling in our nation, in our state, and yes, even in our local community. And there is understandably an awful lot of passion. But I urge you, as followers of Christ, not to lay down your heavenly citizenship in pursuit of the issues that we face. I beg you to be active citizens and even passionate citizens, but always, everybody say always, always in a way that honors the Lord and displays the character of Christ rather than undermining your testimony, which is of critical importance in this day and this hour. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, where Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on whose account?" It's right up there. On whose account? On Jesus' account. So on my account is what Jesus is saying, is when you represent Christ, there will sometimes come an opposition. Don't confuse you acting like a jerk and then facing opposition for that with suffering for the kingdom. There's some of us who suffer because of our poor behavior. Can I get an amen to that? Oh, no, no. Okay. Do you know people who suffer because of their own behavior? And then there's a suffering for righteousness' sake. And to this suffering, the suffering for righteousness' sake, the suffering for standing for God, the suffering for standing for the integrity of the gospel and showing Christ's love. He says this, when we suffer because of that, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now let's read. This brings us up to Stephen's sermon. And it's good. And he ties up the entire Old Testament. But be warned, I'm going to read 51 verses. So let's start with some pictures. Okay, picture one. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Before he lived in Haran, and he said to him, 'Go out from your land, from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you.' And he went out from him to the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child." Boop. Remember those old books? They kind of, oh, there you go. Good. I remember those books where you read and they beeped and you turned. Okay. "And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land that belongs to them, who would enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God. And after they shall come out and worship me in this place." And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And we go continue on. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into slavery, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. Our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers to visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob, his father, and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver and from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, and there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. And he dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving him salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now for 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame and fire of a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he drew near to look, there came a voice of the Lord. "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. And the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers.' This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us." So what he's doing is he's basically taking their complaint and he's showing how God was fulfilling all this. We're almost there, gang. "Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside," and go to the next one. "And in their hearts, they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make for us gods who will go before us.' And this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the..." You think I'm long-winded? Now look at this. Okay. This is actually really good here. It says, "And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol who were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the hosts of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you bring me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Molech and the star of your God and the images that you made to worship. And I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers in turn brought it in with Joshua, and they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, says the prophet. 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. 'Or what is my place of rest? Did not my hand make all these things?'" So basically he has an entire survey of the Old Testament. I know that that was a lot. I know that was a lot of scripture. You know what's good? It's good to read scripture. And in that, he's basically saying, "I'm going to give you the entire history. You think that somehow that I'm saying something blasphemous. I'm letting you know that this was all pointing to the fulfillment of a promise which was in Jesus. And how's this for an altar call? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. How to win friends and influence people. Now, we have a joke. At staff meeting, one of our staff likes to rehearse what I called the congregation last Sunday. You know you called us stupid. You know you called us dumb. You know you called us these things. I don't think I've ever called the entire congregation stiff-necked people and uncircumcised. And have I done that? Not yet. We're not done. I want you to consider, here are people. They are so intent on what they're doing that they missed Elvis actually in the room. They're looking for the real thing and he's right in front of them. And they're missing it. In how we do church, are we missing Jesus? In how we do life, are we expecting to see the real deal? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your hearts and ears, you'll always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you now have betrayed and murdered. And you who received the laws delivered by angels and did not keep it. He's basically letting them know, look, you're talking about the law. You're not even keeping the law. And here the one who fulfilled the law is right in front of you. Second point, when we resist the Holy Spirit, we can miss God who is right before us. I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit, there are times the Holy Spirit pushes me way outside of my comfort zone in both ways. I find myself sitting in the seat of the Pharisee at times where God wants me to reach out to those in need, to those people who are really struggling. There are times that we wrestle in those. And there are also times that we wrestle thinking that we've got it together and we don't need God. There are times that we wake up in the morning and we think we're doing really well and we don't need God that morning. Life seems going well. I don't have any major crises. I'm paying all my bills. I think I'm doing pretty well. I should walk on my own. Honey, that's the time you better fall down on your knees and thank God. When things are going, if you only have a God who you draw near to in your crisis, you've missed the best part of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've missed the best part. I urge you. Are you looking for God to be faithful each morning? Are you willing to have God challenge our religion? Because God challenges my religion. God challenges my religion. You know, religion is man's attempt to reach God. And yet God, the relationship that God offers us, what Jesus demonstrated is what he did to reach us. And so we must remain dependent upon God. And I mean each and every day. We can get so focused on our life, our passions, our issues, and our stuff that we literally begin to worship them. Come on. We can worship family. We can worship our jobs. We can worship our, you just fill in the blank. What has your heart? What has your time? What has your passion? Has it become an idol that has displaced God from the throne of our heart? We always must remember, we live in a time where many people worship science right now. My heavens, in the past couple years, everyone's looking to science, which continually evolves by its own definition. If you don't believe me, are eggs good or bad? The answer is yes. They're good. They're bad. Why do we know? Because it continually changes and continually evolves each and every day. Then we are in a quest for knowledge rather than a quest for relationship with the creator of all knowledge. Doesn't that sound like the Garden of Eden? seeking for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why was that such a bad sin? Because God wanted to be their source. Imagine how much less stress we'd have if we just went to the Lord rather than tried to rely on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. In other words, gang, we can't do it on our own. So let's see how this wonderful altar call, let's see how this kind of lengthy sermon, let's see how it completed. Acts chapter 7, 54 through chapter 8, verse 2. Now when they heard these things, they were all enraged. Whoa. Right, Rorge. And they ground their teeth at him. That must have been fun to preach to. You're preaching the God of Abraham. They're going, arr. I've seen that sometimes. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. What good counsel when we are trying to minister. Don't look at the reactions of the people. Keep looking at Jesus. Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. It's quite a response there to the message. Okay? And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is very important, as we're going to see later. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay hold of this sin against him. What a difference. Nowadays, we're going to be saying, he's violating my rights. How dare my freedom? Which is important, and I love it, and we should be passionate about that. But where's our eternal citizenship? I wish we were as passionate about that, church. I really do. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. Okay, he died. He was stoned to death. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. What an altar call here. Stephen gets martyred. Number one, this is tough stuff. It seems like a defeat. Our first round draft pick blows out. He's taken out in the very preseason. How are we going to get by? Doesn't this seem out of control? Come on, church. Doesn't this seem... Do we want that church service? No. Last point, and I really need you to get this. God is in control. Please just say that. God is... No, you need to say it to yourself. God is in control. Because gang, what we think is horrible, this is good news for Stephen. This is good news for Stephen. Stephen is now in the presence of God. He's looking up and he's like, it's all good. He's not worried about what they're doing. You know what? God, don't lay the sin on their, forgive them. Bam, I'm going home. Going home is an awful good incentive now, isn't it, gang? He accomplishes his purposes even when it seems like it is out of control. And let me tell you how it not only did it accomplish the purposes for Stephen, but look at the church. Because I remember just a little bit ago in the book of Acts that Jesus said that we were supposed to be his witnesses and we were to go to Jerusalem. And then remember, where's the next stop on this wonderful evangelistic bandwagon? Judea. And then where's the next stop? Samaria. And then where's the next stop? The ends of the earth. And where were they? In Jerusalem. Maybe your persecution is pushing you out of your comfort zone to go where God's wanted you to go all along. Hello. Acts chapter 4. Now those who were scattered went about doing what? Preaching the word. Acts 8:4. In other words, God is in control. Even when the storm is coming, worship team, you can come on up. Judea and Samaria, they're now being pushed into their destiny. So in other words, your persecution, your rough time, your storm can be pushing you further into the perfect will of God for your life. He is faithful and a rewarder of those who will keep the faith. That's quite an altar call. Now, I get it. There's an awful lot of scripture. There's an awful lot there. And why did we go through and we read all that? Because God was fulfilling all of these things. He was fulfilling the entire foreshadowing of Moses, of the tabernacle, of the temple, that we are called to be His people. God's in control. God is in control. We live in a difficult time. And gang, I just want to tell you, I'm not prophesying it, but it might get worse. It might get worse for a while, but we have to keep our eternal citizenship paramount. I'm begging you, keep Christ on the throne of your life. And I promise you this, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even when we go through the storm, God will be faithful. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father in heaven, I just praise You and I thank You for Your faithfulness. It is great. Each day we wake up and we see it. Lord, we've read a lot of scripture today. I know for you it's not a lot, but for us, you know, we've gone through listening to these words that were recited and considering the response. And God, forgive us of just this assumption that we know how people are going to respond and how people are going to react. The people who You've called us to share Your love and Your hope and Your truth with, it might not always go the way that we think it's going to go. But give us the resolve and the courage to do so anyhow. Lord, let us put our faith and our trust in You. And Lord, help us to not look at our struggles, not look at our persecution in such a way as if You can't move in the midst of it. We give You free rein to move in our lives and to help us fulfill the eternal purpose that You have given us, to be Your witnesses, to share the gospel to the entire world. We love You, and I pray encouragement for Your church today. I pray as we consider this sermon that was preached by Stephen, as we consider Your eternal truths, that we will be motivated to be faithful in our pursuit of You. Have Your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you, church family. I invite you to...
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.